Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. And I just want to welcome everybody who's in the studio with us, on the Zoom call with us, as well as on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. And we say greetings to each and every one of you. And I just want to introduce a couple of our compatriots. Brother Satavi Jahi is with us, and also Brother Vernon Streeter. Both of them are heavily involved with the publication and other activities. But before we normally start our podcast, we'd like to start it off on the good foot, as some would say. And we will start off with our brother, Satavi Jahi, who always has positive, strong, inspirational information that he shares with us. So, Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
All right. We do come on these airways each and every time. We do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written author Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. And before I get into our reading for tonight, I'd just like to say, welcome. You found your family in a peaceful place. We wish for you blessings without number, all good things without end. As our beginning was good, so shall our development throughout eternity be good. If we dare struggle, speak truth, and walk in the way of righteousness. Otep, peace. All right, reading for the day. October 10th. Very impressive. The key to success is to keep growing in all areas of life, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, as well as physically. And that quote is from Julius Erving, basketball legend. Reading for the day. Each day, our subconscious is bombarded with thousands of impressions, both positive and negative. They come from outside as well as from within. Impressions flow in a constant stream, oftentimes uninvited. But the kind of impressions emitted to our minds define the scope of our lives. When a higher truth and a pleasing thought sinks into your mind and heart, you no longer suffer the penalty of not knowing that truth. Your joy is radiant and warm. For example, by seeing the real meaning of life, we destroy the painful feelings of fertility. By refusing to limit ourselves, we expand far beyond our fondest dreams. By allowing love to be the perfect guide, we walk lightly. By realizing our true potential, we never suffer from a poor self-image. By staying focused on our goals, we bring into reality that which we desire most. By understanding the power of thoughts, we are less concerned about outer circumstances. By knowing our true identity, we fear not any experience quite. By being receptive to positive impressions only, we replenish our spirit. There are millions of beautiful impressions that you can receive each day. I receive and accept only healthy, positive impressions into my mind. And that's our reading for today. And, you know, it's a very powerful concept in that reading, you know, about having the power of your thoughts so that you are less concerned about the outer circumstances. That's a very, very important thing, you know. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, as they say in United Negro College Fund advertising. So make sure we protect our minds. It's our greatest asset. Back to you, David.
All right. Thank you so much, brother. You know, I appreciate you and appreciate your years of service. And it's just good to know, man, that we have soldiers that's been out there on the battlefield for a multitude of years and still standing and still fighting. So I appreciate you, sir. And, you know, I just have a little topic today. It's about connecting with each other. Now, in this issue, you know, it's at the printer's line. It should be out in a day or so, you know, the physical copy. The online copy is available. And if you notice the front page, it has four or five organizations on there. I believe one is the Million Women March. The founder of that march is involved with one of the editors in our publication. And then we have the Historical Art Social Club. One of the, it is the eldest men's club in the entire nation. And they do a lot of social business and everything else, networks at that facility. You know, they do so much, you know, like they have social events, jazz, live entertainment, and they have, we have had many cultural meetings there, and they do so much. They feed the homeless. They do so much at that particular facility. You know, kudos to them. Then we have one of the groups that I helped found it is the National, I mean, Black Men Unifying Black Men, who has been around 6 or 7 years. And we have done an untold amount of our services by uniting brothers together. And at the same time, these brothers have went on to do great and wonderful things. There's a lot of spinoff groups that came from out of Black Men Unifying Black Men. And then we have Teaching Artist Institute with one of our editors, Miss Kim Poole, who I believe right now she's in Africa right now. And this young lady, man, you know, for years, you know, I think she goes to Africa 4 or 5 times a year. And then she travels all over the United States. And she shares good news and she takes to our publication. You know, she's a great ambassador for the publication and the works they do overseas as well as in this country is phenomenal. So, you know, my kudos off to her too. And then we have one of our newest members who just joined, and that's the National Council of Elders. And this is a group of individuals that have, you know, I belong right here locally to Maryland Council of Elders. But this is the national, and they from all various cities where they have Council of Elders. And they are heavily penetrated in the continent and as well as all over this country. And they had joined forces with us as well in this publication. And so as you can see, and of course, the National Black Unity News itself, which is connecting all of this together. And we are a group of people, not only do we support our publication, but we write in it, we finance it, and it's unique in every sense of it. And it's traveling, and this publication is going all throughout the diaspora. It has changed a multitude of lives. And we bring information that you can't get anywhere else. And so it's a great publication because it actually shows what unity is all about. When you can bring us together, pull our resources together, share information together, that's what the National Black Unity News do. Now, not only that, ladies and gentlemen, just today, I've been on calls all day long, Zoom calls. The first one was in Panama, where some of the brothers from UNIA, I think, was on there, and they we're going to have a big meeting this Saturday, a Zoom call, and I will, you know, inform y'all. And Brother High Key was in Panama, and Brother Cliff was in Panama last weekend. And of course, they took the National Black Unity News with them, and they shared it with, you know, the brothers and sisters, you know, and they had people there from all over the world was there. And so, and then later, you know, early this morning, for those who know, I get up 3 o'clock in the morning almost constantly, you know, and I tagged this brother early today because this brother has a TV station, radio program, and he has a platform to help motivational speakers, and he's over there in England. And we was going back and forth, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And next thing you know, he picked up one of them Zoom calls. I don't know, one of them computer calls. And he called. He and I talked for about an hour. And then he invited me on his show. And I was on his show from 2 to 4. And they have a platform all over the world. And so what I'm saying all of this is that, you know, from humble beginnings, this paper is going here and there and pretty much everywhere, and the reason why I'm telling you this is because one of our purpose with the National Black Unity News is to bring unity, not only bring it but demonstrate it as well, to uplift our people, and by bringing them solution-oriented information. And we continue to do that, yet we're still in our infancy, but we are growing. And but today, because we are growing, we are connecting the dots. We are bringing organizations and individuals together. And like I said, we're still in our infancy. And so by us being at this particular state, but a lot of us has been around, just like myself, for a long time, like Brother Satawi Jahi, who has been around for a long time. And we've been working in the vineyards, you know, trying to, you know, bring unity to us. Because as we all know, we know the situation. I ain't gonna fire, you know, kind of conditions we are as a people. But yet we have everything we need. Everything. And but yet we have groups. And I can tell you this, all across this country, there's individual organizations that are truly making a difference. The only thing is, now we are coming together. And I strongly suggest that, you know, a lot of people say, we don't do this, we don't do that. But I just want to remind everybody about the strength of Black people, in spite of the opposition that we have to face on a daily basis, in spite of other communities that don't want to see us come together. It's a lot of reasons why they don't want that. Just say, for instance, I'm just giving you one example. Suppose we, Black melanated people, just took our resources and just stopped spending. Just stopped spending for a week or two and watch how this economy will crumble. And that's why it's necessary for them, for those that don't want to see us come together, because like I say, their economy will drop, but we will, you know, we will lift our own communities up. And they really don't want that to happen. That's what happened to the Wall Streets of yesterday, because they see the power of what we can do when we work together, support one another. You know, they just couldn't have this, so they had to do everything necessary to, you know, put a stop to that. But that was yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Today is a different day. And through all the atrocities we as a people have been through in this country, and we're still standing, we're still connecting. And through propaganda and through media and all other resources, people are saying to us that, you know, we'll never come together. We can't get it together. We never will support one another. Well, I live in a different world, obviously, because in the National Black Unity News, that's exactly what we're doing. We are working together, as I said before, supporting one another. And now we're connecting with people all throughout the diaspora. And so I just want to ask some of you some questions, because we are moving into a different area, and we will continue to evolve with this publication and hopefully from generation to generation. But since people are coming together, and a lot of people is recognizing the National Black Unity News as a great tool, a great vehicle to bring resources together, information together, so that we can recognize one another, support one another. And I just want to ask some of you, because yesterday, even today, people say we can't get it together. But like I said, I live in a different world because I see differently. And I can prove it through just with the National Black Unity News. But all across this country, all across the world, like I say, Brother Cliff and Brother High Key just came back, and that's exactly what they were doing. Them brothers was coming from all different countries and stuff, coming together, trying to work with one another, trying to lift us up as a people. And this type of things are happening all over the place. And so I just wanted to ask you, since you know, there's some will continue to say that we would never get it together or come together, but you know, I have a way, you know, and that's what the National Black Unity News is, one of the tools. We do podcasting and everything else to try to unite us as a people. It takes a village to unite the village. And I just want to ask some of you some questions about your thoughts on us coming together, working together. Yes, it's a great idea, but you may have some solutions, some suggestions, misinformation that's been handed down to us. And I'm going to start off with this gentleman, Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy. I want you to unmute yourself, sir. Mr. Murphy, you can hear me? Unmute yourself, sir. Okay.
Unmuted.
Yes, sir. How you been?
I've been ripping and running and having myself a wonderful day and listening to what's going on. And I'm loving the topic about unity. What's the question, Dave?
Okay. Now, you had made a career in the military, and you was back in the day when you actually seen brothers from all over the world, you know, all over the country, and you could travel all over the world. And then it was back in the 60s, 70s, when you would see a brother, and they called it give the brothers some dap, and we would raise our fists up to recognize one another in love. It wasn't no raising guns at each other, but just in love and in unity. And, you know, you witness a lot of that, you know, especially in the military. But and then you also seen some of the discord has taken, you know, place over the years because outside interference and everything else. So my question to you, sir, when it comes to unity, what is your, you know, how do you see us coming together, or do you think we can come together? And if you do think we can come together, how do you suggest we do that? I know that's kind of two or three questions.
Well, no, that's all kind of rolls into one big old kind of concept. And the concept is unity amongst us. I think that's where we're kind of going. And, you know, unity is, of course, you know, an idea and a concept of people or a thing being having the same mindset or the same goal involved. I remember this one. I think it was on any given Sunday where they was talking about, you know, one of the greatest things about football was the fact that it wasn't so much about all the different plays, but it was just the idea of 11 people all trying to get one thing accomplished, just trying to get that ball down to the goal line. It was the only purpose at that moment, okay? And that's unity. Most teams are like that. And so and when it comes down to the National Black Unity Community and the military, it all depends on its personnel and their desires. And ladies and gentlemen, if you got the wrong people, you're going to have a wrong outcome. And so at the end of the day, what we have found in the National Black Unity News is that there is a lot of different attitudes, ideas, concepts that's all trying to get this one thing accomplished. And that's the idea of having us as a black people do better. That's pretty much the whole goal. Now, you can talk all of this stuff that you want, but I know that at the end of the day, a quality of life that is better than the ones that we've had in our past is the concept. Now, whether or not we can do it, there was this old thing, David, I think you remember. We used to belong to this organization that was a really top seller as far as real estate is concerned. It was called Team Unity. And then Team Unity had this thing saying, you know, you and I together, the wise saying, yes, yes. And that's my answer to you, David. I believe that we can unify to a degree. And there's going to be some folks that ain't going to want to get on board. They stay in their lane. They do their thing, okay? And there's going to always be some discord. Always. But unity is not about unity is the ones that are unified, the ones that are going places, because you're going to leave some folks behind. It's just like in religion or whatever, whatever. It will always be the poor with us. Yeah, okay. Huh? Even as rich as a country as the United States of America is and all these billionaires running around, we still have poor people. So what I'm saying is that unity is definitely, when I say definitely, definitely achievable. The question is how long will it last? Back to you, David.
Okay. Now, I appreciate that, sir. That's a good analogy, you know, from your point of view. Now, Brother Ransom, can you unmute yourself, sir? How you doing this evening?
I'm okay.
And this brother here, he's an entertainer. He's a singer. You know, he produces films and quite a few other things. But he's in the industry that is having a difficult time in it. And this brother decided that no matter what, he's going to continue to support black businesses. He's going to continue to support black causes. And I just want to hear from your point of view in the entertainment industry, what's your take on unity as far as what you see now and what you hope it to be?
Well, as far as the entertainment industry, and me being a black artist, I don't see a whole lot of cohesiveness between black artists. I mean, there is some, but that's mostly between independent black artists for the most part, because a lot of the black entertainers that are in the system are really just, a lot of them seem to be out for themselves. And they really don't care what type of material they put out there. They're just putting stuff out there to be seen and to get money, to get paid, to get the bag, as they say. They're not really trying to put a whole lot of quality stuff out there. They keep producing films that highlight the dysfunction in the black community, which, I mean, of course, it's okay to show real life. Of course, you need to do that. But my thing is with that, that's all they do is focus on the dysfunction for the most part in the black community. Mm-hmm. They never really do anything to show a healing between black people. We keep talking about not on this call per se, but in general, black people are always being concerned about not being divided from white folks and other races. We put in a lot of energy making sure that we're not divided from white people. But a lot of black people will not lift a finger to try to heal the division amongst their own people. Everything I do is pretty much focused on black people. My films are about black people. I'm intentional with my films in showing healthy relationships between black people, trying to be thought-provoking for black people, to black people, and to empower us as a people. That's the main message in my film, The Eternal Extra, which is on a black-owned streaming service, which also needs some support. It's a black-owned streaming service that was started by a black brother here who's also an actor by the name of Asim Amin, called Stream DMV. And all the material on Stream DMV is from black filmmakers, mostly black filmmakers. I think it's all black filmmakers at the moment, for the most part, from the DMV area. All the material on there is from black filmmakers from Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. And my film is on there right now. It's gotten a lot of great reviews. And the main message of that film, entitled The Eternal Extra, is for us as black people to realize the power that we have and to stop giving our power away. I was helping a little bit with the Baltimore International Black Film Festival this weekend. And I saw a lot of great films in that festival. It should have been more black folks there to support some of the black films that were there by black directors and writers and stuff, because there were some different stories there that we don't normally get to see on mainstream television. Stories showing black people, you know, in a quote unquote normal way, not always focusing on dysfunction, showing black people being romantic and loving with each other and having a sense of humor with each other, and not always focusing on buffoonery and being violent towards one another.
Let me stop you right here, because you hit on some real key factors. And okay, I don't know why I'm getting this echo. But in any case, you know, I was talking earlier today about how media plays such an important part in indoctrinating us to keep us in servitude. Even from our cartoons, our music we listen to, the shows that they put on the air. So it's coming from us from all different angles. And to hear a young man like yourself saying that, you know, we can change that narrative, but it needs support. What would you do if you had the strength and the power to do so? What would you do to unite the black filmmakers with the people? And what would be your suggestion for that?
Well, what I do right now, I just try to get the word out about, like, the stuff that I'm doing. And I'm also trying to help you know, promote other black filmmakers that are mostly independent, that are doing some really great work that don't really get to be seen because they're not in the mainstream. And some of the films that I saw this weekend might be accepted by the mainstream, but some of them won't be because they don't really want to keep showing black people in a positive light. Not saying that everything has to be perfect because no race of people is perfect. But the thing is, like with Caucasians, for instance, they have a wide variety of the ways that they portray them. And with us, the main way that they portray us in the media is mostly dysfunctional. The dysfunction in the black community has become very profitable for this society. And unfortunately, there are some black filmmakers like Mr. Perry and some others who will focus on the dysfunction in the black community. Like people are like raving about that new film that he has out, which I have not watched as of yet. What's it called? Something, The Poor Man's Blues or something, or something. It'll be a film dealing with something that was set back in like the 30s or the 40s, I believe, something like that. And it's between a relationship that's supposed to be a so-called forbidden love between a black man and this biracial woman. And
I think I know. But let me ask you something. Is there any kind of black filmmakers organization or something like that out there?
Not that I've heard of. I mean, and if we did have a black filmmakers organization, it might have to be two separate ones because there's two different types of black filmmakers. Because like I said, a lot of these filmmakers out here are just trying to get paid. They just want to get the bag, as they say. And then there's other ones like myself who are independent, who are actually trying to do some things that are very conscious for the black community. Like I saw quite a few strong black films this weekend from independent black filmmakers who don't always have, you know, the financial backing that some of the other filmmakers get in the business. Like for instance, we just need to be able to make our people open up to each other and listen to each other the way we listen to everybody else.
I want to cut you off because I see something in you, always seen this in you, because you are conscious enough. And since they may not be such as, whatever, if it is one, you know, most of us don't know about it. There's a lot of things that we have these national organizations, most of us don't know about. But if there's such a void in our communities, have you ever given any thought of even starting something like a national or local Black Filmmakers Association where you can kind of set the course if, you know, if you want to keep it strong and keep it black, then, you know, a lot of the buffoon you won't let in and just, you know, try to get it so that when people want to, when the people like myself who look for conscious information, that we can find it somewhere through a network or something.
I haven't thought about starting one myself. I've tried to be like outspoken, which I haven't really done any episodes recently, but I was like using my my podcast to be outspoken and speak about the issues in the black community. But that's something that I wouldn't be against. I would think about it.
You know, sometimes when we see a problem, sometimes, you know, it may be up to us to kind of fulfill those gaps and stuff, you know. And and if you do decide to do something like that, you know, I'm more than willing, and I'm quite sure quite a few of us on there are more than willing to support you on that. And not only could be very lucrative, but it's not about the money, it's about the mission. But, you know, it does take resources to help keep things going and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not all about the money, even though I need money. I'm not all about money at all, because if I was, I would be putting different types of material out there. Mm-hmm. I would be putting the stereotypical stuff out there because I know that that stereotypical stuff makes money. You know, the buffoonery and all that makes money, but I refuse to do that because I'm not all about the money. I'm trying to use my artistry to inspire Black people to love Black people and for us to be compassionate towards our own people because we give compassion away to to everybody else. We have compassion for other races, but often when it comes time for us to be compassionate to our own people, we give our own people a cold shoulder. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We will hold grudges against another Black person for something really small, but white folks can do whatever they want to us, and we forgive them every time.
Well, you know, that's because of a lot of reasons. But look, I see our sister Kilolo. How you doing? I think you got your hand raised. You got a question or a comment for the brother or for anybody else?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I'm not going to be able to talk long, but I really like what he's saying because, you know, I'm a little raw with it, but I'm going to go straight at it. We don't even support each other when we are in each other's company. We have to look at ourselves in a way where every time we go out and give a dollar bill to somebody for what we buy, what language do they speak, what nationality they are, and how much do they deposit in our community. So that means you supporting their family and they not buying a cup of water from you. So we need to learn how to reprogram ourselves mentally to start when we, not, first of all, let's just get a meeting where we face to face with each other. And every time we in a meeting and have a conversation, put something in the kitty for the people who giving it and for the support things that we're trying to accomplish. That's the first thing. Secondly, I'm willing to give, I wanted to come face to face with us anyway, have a meeting and see what we can offer because a lot of us are overlapping with our same ideas and we don't even realize it because everything this gentleman says is under a umbrella of creativity, art, apprenticeship. And I'm even looking at a building that I would like us to look at as a group and say we can use this building to start what we're doing. The other guy, and I hope y'all understand where I'm coming from, the guy Dempsey, he's using the chess strategy, and I've been saying this all along. You have to use that same mentality when it comes down to the football team because you got to make your best possible play. You can't go to the other side of the team and say, man, can I hold the ball? You got to make your best possible play, but you got to be in the right position. That's what chess is all about. And that's what we need to learn to understand. We don't have to do what they do, but we have to learn how to come out of our pockets to support each other like we support other people. Because every time we go somewhere, when we're in each other's company, or even if there's an event going on, we all should be there to support that person, okay, right within our group. We have to lead by example. So when we decide that we want to have an in-house meeting, I'm gonna open the door to the little community room that we have over here in West Baltimore, and y'all come up instead of having it on Zoom, have it face-to-face, bring your resume and your ideas and see how connected we are, okay?
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Now, you mentioned several great ideas, and obviously it hasn't taken place yet because you would be involved with it.
Right.
So my suggestion is just only as I saw it, you know, because as far as I'm concerned, time is running out on a lot of us.
That's right.
And tomorrow ain't promised to none of us. But you know, at the same time, God has blessed each and every one of us with ideas and things that can be done. So, Sister Kilolo, I know you have talked about this before. So, why don't you get this thing started and see what happens?
I agree. I'm gonna leave the doors open. You can tell the people who you want. I'll get in touch with you, and we can have a meeting up here instead of having a Zoom meeting over here, over there at, you know, where we're at. Hopefully they're all local, and I'll give you my address, and y'all come up here like next week or give them a week notice, like, because we are all used to having the Zoom meeting Monday or Tuesday. Have it here.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then, because a lot of people on here, it's not local. You know, they from all over the country.
Then they can be on the big screen. Listening.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, because we had brothers like I think he may have left. Brother Vernon was on here, and that's what he does. He goes to locations and make things and stream it live while they're having
We need that.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that, because, you know, I'm at the point now where we got to stop all this talking and start, you know.
Absolutely.
You got to start doing something.
You got to make some moves and realize how a lot of our people are not saying it. Well, they are, because I'm getting bits and pieces. They down under the weather. We see the different kind of little games they playing. Every month they come out with a germ or disease
something
like that. So it's obvious that there's a problem, okay? We don't have to do it the way they do it, because we got to realize that we are not the same people, okay? Our money goes to them. That's why they only put those businesses in the black community. You can't fry chicken in no Chinese community. You ain't going to buy no pizza in no Jewish community. So we know, they know what they're doing, and there's nothing different, and I'm over 70. So that means that I can see there's no difference in what they're doing now than they did back in the day. The difference, the one thing that we had in common was that we supported each other. We ain't doing that no more. And they sidetracking us with all this other stuff, with the diseases, all the artificial stuff they're putting out about us, so we don't even trust our own people. We always, and no doubt about this, everybody agree with this. Them drugs and guns ain't coming in this community. They bringing them in here. And we battering our own people. And we know it, because they've been doing it for years. So it's, and now we done got casual with it. Oh, yeah, we know that. Well, where's the jobs then? What do you want these people to do? You got a drowning man here. What you want him to do for a living? We need to get real.
Okay, well, you know.
More than person.
Okay, well, we'll start putting some things together. Hey,
right.
Dr. Pender, how are you today, sir?
Good evening, everyone doing. I have the answer, the solution to the problem that we've been grappling with for 2 years. I just wrote a book. I redid my book, The Religion of Greed and Its Impact on African Americans Workbook. In that workbook, one of the main things that we have to deal with is dependency. That's what's keeping us discombobulated.
Good.
Therefore, we are not focused on the issue. We're focused on what they're communicating to us. We're educated for failure, because you're not educated for success.
Right.
Number two is, in the newspaper, I put a big page in about contempt, how that contemptuous nature is among us. And finally, the cognitive retrogression is affecting the black society. The workbook has all the answers, the solutions to our problems in the back. It's new on the newsstand. It just came back out, and Trudy helped me put this thing together. And the workbook will give you all of your solutions to the problem that we have, so we can get back together, if you choose to do so. But the main thing you have to do is get away from your media for 30 days and concentrated effort to come together and, hey, listen, appreciate one another. You do this for 2 weeks, and you can rule the world for a moment. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
Good idea.
Okay. All right. You know me. I move around the table quite a bit. Danielle, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay. But no. We're going to want your participation. Now you in the fashion world.
Yeah.
And you also like to host events and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the fashion world, like I say, you know, I used to put together directories and stuff like that, you know, and I did it on a nationwide basis. And I know there's a lot of categories that they have national organizations for. They even got a National Babysitter Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they even got a National Black Hotel Association. But unfortunately, a lot of these national organizations, most people have not even heard of them. unless you're in that particular industry or something, you know, but most people would never know who and where they are. Now, in your industry, in the fashion industry, is there anything local or national that you know of that have, because, you know, that's a huge industry. You in fashion, clothing, and hair, all that kind of stuff. So is there any type of organizations or stuff that you're aware of that unites Black people together?
Just Black people? I don't think so. Not in the fashion industry, because, you know, the fashion industry is what, you know, controls a lot of stuff, and that's why, you know, a lot of those companies, big name brand, make a lot of money. They make money off of Black people. That's how they make
money.
Yes.
So
not many. It's like smaller organizations that try to help out the Black community as far as clothing. Even in my field within the fashion industry, sustainability is, you know, in the past like 5 years, more Black people started to learn about sustainable fashion. And a lot of them aren't even from, you know, the U.S., the Black people that do know about it. So it's not a lot that just brings out, you know, just, you know, Black people. They do fashion shows. They might bring out a lot of, you know, Black people, but it's, you know, geared towards just making money and with the latest fashion and all of that. It's not really geared to educating the Black community in a sense on how they should spend their dollar, how we should keep our money in the community with our own fashion. So I haven't, you know, ran into it yet, but yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. If there was one, would you join it or something?
Would I join it?
Yeah,
yeah,
there was a
Black. Go ahead.
No, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's always a method to my madness, as some might say, because, like I say, it's getting to the point now. Like I say, you know, I'm serious. I've always been serious, but, you know, but now it's time to really start connecting these dots. And if there's voids in our community, then they need to be filled up. And like I say, since we are a collective group, we all independent, but, you know, we can work together. So we have worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that most people involved with on this call right now is involved with our publication, the National Black Unity News. Now, since that being said, one of the reasons why I kept asking all of these questions about organizations and Black organizations and stuff like that, because, like I say, all of these people are profiting from us on a astronomical pace. And we have the power to change some of that. But some of us are going to have to step up and going to stand in the gap. And what I'm suggesting is that you should never stand alone. You should have an army around you. And that's what I'm suggesting for all the Brother Cortez, Sister Key Lolo, and Dr. Pender and everybody else. You know, if we sit down, like Sister Key Lolo said, and say, for instance, let's together fill these voids to say in the entertainment industry. Let's start our own Black Filmmakers Association or something. And the same thing with the fashion industry. We can do that ourselves. Now, I have plenty of resources. I've been doing researches on stuff like this, and they're all over the country. People are waiting on us. Somebody, but nobody took took the lead and actually started. And the only thing is, you know, if you know, after this call, one day this week, like Sister Kilo, maybe we would have a meeting, just call me one-on-one, and I have a plan where we can start all of these different organizations, because y'all in those industries, y'all can head them up, but you know, you won't be doing this by yourself. There's going to be plenty of resources. And of course, we know that everything, it does take some finances to get some of these things going. And so, you know, but that will come very soon, because if you start these organizations, unite these people, because a lot of people are looking for these type of thing, and willing to scrape small fees to join and stuff like this so that you can be worthy of the work that you put into it. But just give this some thought, because it's, like I say, a serious time. And not only that, I mentioned when we first started, a lot of y'all wasn't on when we first started on. I was telling people that all the connections that's being made with this publication, like I say, today I was on an international TV show with this brother from England. I spent 2 hours with him. And just about 20 minutes before that, I was talking to this gentleman in Panama. You know, Brother Cliff, you know, because they had the event there, and Brother High Key gave one of the brothers a thing. Now, I'm going to have a big meeting with them Saturday. And of course, Kim Poole is over there in Africa as we speak, making connections. And so now people come from all over the world. It's contacting us now. Even local organizations have now joined the National Black Unity News. National organization is joining us now. And since they don't, a lot of space is so empty with us, like I say, in the entertainment industry, fashion industry, food industry, the whole lot of industries where we spend a great deal of our money because we don't know where to go or who to go to. A lot of us don't even know that we have people that is in fashion right here locally, so we don't know who and where they are. And same thing with the filmmakers. You know, if we don't know you, how are we going to support you? You know, and so, and we have all kinds of tools. We have the National Black Unity News is one. What we're doing now, podcasting. Brian got his own TV station. And each and every one of us have our own networks. And speaking of networks, I'm going to bring this brother on next because I'm glad he chimed in. And Brother Cliff, he just came back from Panama. And I want to share just a little bit about what's taking place. But I want to, you know, Brother Cliff, we're talking about connecting the dots.
Right.
And we're talking about uplifting ourselves, you know, because, like I said, we can't wait. We done did all we could do for this country and supporting everything they do. Now it's time for us to go back to that old ways and start doing for ourselves. And you do have a plan with the circle, and you are talking to people nationally and internationally. And you host a call recently, you know, regularly, that trying to bring organizations together. So, you know, give us a little highlight what happened in Panama, and give us, you know, I just want to ask your suggestion on how we as a people can unify from your perspective.
Okay. I'll get Panama out of the way real quick. At the end of September 22 through 25, the organization that I'm primarily a member of, the Six Region Diaspora Caucus, or SRDC, which has as its mission the organizing of grassroots communities at the local level, bringing them together in national assemblies, and then combining those into essentially a grassroots-driven Pan-African diaspora organization to take our voice from the local areas to the world stage, had its 14th International Summit in Panama City, Panama. And at this summit, we had, of course, activists from SRDC in the United States, from California, Maryland, and South Carolina primarily. We also had affiliates from the Virgin Islands. We had members of the Central American Black Organization, or CABO, who were there from Costa Rica. We had other individuals who called in from different parts of the United States, and we had a delegation who had come over from Liberia. And the purpose of the summit was to, number one, take stock of where we are, which is we're continuing with our organizing efforts, some areas more effectively than others. Also to talk about some on-the-ground projects that we have already set in motion in places like South Carolina, Liberia, that sort of thing. We also talked there's a little bit of theoretical discussion of what Pan-Africanism is, how to bring in communities in Central America. We got to know a number of community activists in Panama, so we made some connections there. And we also had an opportunity to explain to people on the ground there in Panama and those who had chimed in over Zoom how the Pan-African Town Hall process, which we have been implementing in Maryland since 2007, and we hope to reinstitute once COVID lifts just a little bit more here in Maryland, how that Pan-African town hall process
is run and what its purpose is, as well as the concept of building cooperative coalitions. So in that regard, the summit probably could have been more successful than it was, as far as I'm concerned. Every conference, every summit, at some point or another, becomes a talk shop. People love to complain it's nothing but a talk shop. But frankly, I can't think of a summit or a conference I've been to that didn't have some elements of talk shoppiness in them. But the question is whether or not you're able to get anything done or get any messages across or plant any seeds during that process. And I think we were able to do that. As far as the second part of your question is concerned, one of the things that we've been working on really is something that I've been talking about for years, really for the better part of the last 10 years, accelerated that effort in the last few years. And then in January, we actually started to implement was what we're calling the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, or MPAC, M-P-A-C-C. The purpose of MPAC is to basically bring together different types of organizations into one room. First of all, get them all used to being in the same room without fighting. Oftentimes it seems that your revolutionary Pan-Africanists, your economists, your media people, your lawyers, your educators, your spiritual leaders, your artists, for some reason they can't seem to be in the same space without arguing. And so that was part of it. Get all those people in one space where they can be honest, share what they're about, but avoid all the factionalism that tends to come out of people arguing over what we should call ourselves or whether we should spell Africa with a C or a K, and whether culture is the new currency, whether economics is the solution, whether revolution is the only answer, whether you must engage in electoral politics, and to press upon people the fact that no one of those answers is the answer. I mean, Black Wall Street should have shown us that economic empowerment alone isn't enough. Wilmington, 1898, Wilmington, North Carolina should have shown us that political empowerment alone is not enough. And even what happened to the Panthers should be enough to show us that revolutionary-oriented activism, even when it's as multifaceted as what the Panthers did, is not enough. The only way we're really, the only answer to me is all of them together at the same time. And you see it in sports all the time. A basketball team, a football team, a game of chess. The winner is always the one that gets their different players, different positions, different pieces working together despite the fact that their abilities are all different. And as long as we continue to insist that only one type of organization has the solution, then we're going to continue to lose because our opponents, consciously or unconsciously, are using all of the aspects, all of the avenues of attack against us. If we're going to defend ourselves effectively, we have to be defending ourselves and counterattacking on all of those avenues. So as a result, the primary symbol that I like to use to describe our structure is the one that I'm showing on the screen right now. I call it Spokes of the Wheel, and it's actually not my idea. Mary McLeod Bethune came up with this idea in 1935 when she founded the National Council of Negro Women. I just changed it around a little bit and made the central hub Africa, a free, self-determining Africa, prosperous, at peace with itself and its people, and the different spokes, as you call them, going around the outside. While Mary McLeod Bethune's model, those spokes were organizations. In this one, it's types of organizations. So at 12 o'clock, you have, at 1 o'clock, you have spirituality. At 2 o'clock, you have grassroots on-the-ground activism. At 3 o'clock, you have educators. At 4 o'clock, lawyers and legal scholars and legal warriors. 5 o'clock, media. 6 o'clock, political activism. 7 o'clock, science. 8 o'clock, businesses. 9 o'clock is international activism. 10 o'clock is prison activism. And 11 o'clock is revolutionary activism. Now, I just happen to have 12 here because 12 is what I could think of. I know there's more. But the idea is that each of those spokes can actually be in and of itself its own coalition. So you can have a coalition of prison activists. You can have a coalition of cultural artists. You have a coalition of spirituality, since we have so many different ways that we try to reach to the one, reach to the creator of all things. Grassroots activists can be several organizations working together. Lawyers, you can have several lawyers, several educators. Media, you can have the National Black Unity News leading the charge. You can have Unity TV going in there. If Positive Active Action Bulletin gets restarted, then it can be a part of that coalition, and on and on and on. The political action part, you can have everyone from Ujima People's Progress Party to Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle. And with the businesses, you can have Kyoba, you can have Tight Knit, you can have IBA, you can have all sorts of organizations. Just like in the international level, we have SRDC, the organization I'm in. You have African Union, African Diaspora, Sixth Region Facilitators Working Group in Europe. You had Central American Black Organization. You had Middle East African Diaspora Unity Council. You had the Pan-African, the Caribbean Pan-African Network. You had a whole number of them meeting in Panama on the international level. You can have a similar thing happening at the local level and at the national level in each of these what I call spokes. And then the key thing would be to make sure that those organizations that are active in each of those spokes are able to sit at the table with each other. Here is what the spiritual community has to offer as a possible solution to this problem. Here's what grassroots activists have to offer as a possible solution to this problem. Let everyone put their contributions in. Let no one think that they have the monopoly on what is true, what is correct, and what is effective. Let everyone come there with, in a spirit of humility, a spirit of cooperation, make their contribution, and work on a comprehensive solution together instead of in competition with each other. And I think perhaps the main thing we have to do is get over this notion that we must always be in competition. We must always fight for supremacy. We must always think that we are the biggest, the best, the baddest. Instead, see how we can bring all of our talents and our abilities, as different as they may be, together. The whole purpose of what we're talking about with this type of cooperative coalition, while some people want to establish unity of ideology, which quite frankly, in my opinion, too often boils down to everybody just do as I say, instead of that, have it be unity of purpose. What is it that we want to accomplish? We want to accomplish the unification of our communities, and that won't happen unless our organizers and activists unify themselves and give them the model to follow and the uplift of our communities to a position of at least self-sufficiency, if not community prosperity, peace, and spiritual growth. So that's basically what I want to say about that. I don't know if there's anything I might have left out, but if so, you can always just, you know, throw a question at me and I'll see what I can tell you about it.
Okay, man. You, like I said, you always come through and you have, like I say, some powerful information and powerful resources and powerful solutions. But there's another brother just came on that was in Panama with you. Brother Haki, how you doing, sir? I don't know, because sometimes he'd be pulling.
I'm good. He's a busy man.
Yes. How you doing, sir? Yeah, first of all, Brother Haki, I want to thank you because, I sometimes, we just talk and say hello and this, that. But, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, man, for not only taking the paper everywhere you go and hooking me up. See, Haki recently had me on a national TV show called, I've got that gentleman's name called, Haki. Carl Lewis or something like that.
Carl Nelson.
Yeah, Carl Nelson show. And this morning I met with the brother from Panama, and it was three or four people on there, but we will be meeting up Saturday, and Brother Haki was responsible for that as well. And so I just want to thank you openly, man, for, because you put in work, but you're not selfish about what you do. So you share, he connects dots and stuff, and so he's putting people together by demonstration. So I just want you to know I appreciate that. And but Brother Haki, you know, you're another one of those gentlemen that's all over the place, man. You crisscross the country as well as continents now, and you're an avid reader. And we were just talking. I know you just came on board, but we were just talking about how we, you know, everybody has an opinion about how to do this and how to do that. But we were talking about unity and how, you know, from your perspective, how would you frame it if you had the power? Well, how would you make a suggestion for us to come together in unity? What kind of format would that be, as far as you are concerned?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you for the question, and thank you. And I just heard Brother Cliff's analysis. I think that that's, you know, indeed, you know, essential. You know, much of my organizational, you know, understanding comes from, you know, a lot of what Brother Cliff is saying. I try to, you know, glean what, you know, he's saying and just go from experience. And one thing I realize is that there's different types of consciousness and different levels of consciousness that we experience in our lives. And so for me, just knowing, for instance, that we're all going to be leaders, and different individuals are going to have different levels of capacity, but we all bring something to the table in this world. And this is where, you know, in our maturity and in our wisdom, being able to spot talents. And, you know, and I've heard different organizations talk about a skills bank, international, national, even local, just skills bank, having the resourcefulness of our communities, just like even with what we do here, just learning what different people do, the skills that they have, the networks that they have. Because sometimes what we're not doing is quantifying our collective value, and we're not necessarily bringing it to the right people at the right time. So I'm always, you know, as an organizer, I'm always like what you said, thinking about, okay, if I can't do a particular operation, I have to be skilled enough to know who can I empower, who can I, shall say, get free, if you will, because that's ultimately what we need. We need more free thinking individuals. We need more people that are free with their time, and we need people who know different people that can do particular types of things. And so this is where, you know, what I attempt to do, you know, with different types of books, of course, just always, you know, I mean, I can say I've sold, you know, thousands of books, collectively sold hundreds of thousands, but, you know, I've sold thousands over the years. And, you know, and now it's like doing it on a monthly basis with the newspaper, you know, just getting all of our word out, you know, just getting all of our information out, not just locally, of course. And now we're expanding nationally. And so, you know, so Brother David, and I'll close with this. You're going to be, you know, essential to that. And many of you, because I'll try to, you know, as we expand, of course, there will be different opportunities, and I have to be ready, because I'm not going to be able to, you know, just be interviewing everybody, I mean, or let people interview me. So I'm always happy to, you know, expand the network. But I'll just close and say, Brother David, and definitely, and so on Saturday, what you're talking about is Jamaican, I'm sorry, I don't know if it's Jamaican Federation, but Brother David Murphy will be on, and Dr. Julius Garvey will be on. So, it's centered around the Jamaican organizations, the Rastafarian community in Jamaica. So Dr. Julius Garvey, the son of Marcus Garvey, will be on. So that'll be good. And hopefully we can get that clip and just, you know, he's a big figure all over the world. So that's all I want to say.
Well, you said a lot because, like I say, the paper is expanding locally, nationally, and now internationally. And the reason I brought this subject matter up is because, like Brother Hockey just said, some people have an eye for talent. And then, you know, you can also have, from my point of view, it's called discernment. And, you know, I see things in people. I see gifts and talents in people that sometimes they may not even see it themselves yet. Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes it's like a step of faith or a leap of faith that sometimes people just have to dip their toes into the ocean and, you know, test the waters. But I talked to Brother Ransom earlier, Sister Danielle, Sister Kilo, and a few other people about their thoughts about unity and stuff. Now, I'm just going to say this openly and honestly. Yes, we do have a lot of issues in our communities, and it does take a village to solve all of these problems and these issues. But then sometimes, you know, we are put in a position because we are knowledgeable about certain industries. Like a young lady on Danielle right here, she's into fashion. And she has some knowledge about it. And she also put on shows and stuff like that, but she knows the difficulties that some have to go through. But can you imagine, Danielle, I'm just using you as an example, you know, just say with Danielle, with our help, especially David Murphy and everybody on it, with our assistance, organize the fashion industry where we can unite our people, not only all throughout the entire country and beyond, of black people in the fashion industry, making products, clothing, and everything else, that, you know, connected, because we need to know if we're going to support one another, we have to know who and where they are. And they got to have some kind of format so that they can, so we can, you know, recognize them, like a directory of them. And the same thing in the entertainment industry I was speaking to Brother Ransom about. You know, I said, just maybe y'all might need to take us to, you know, just get the ball rolling. Because it's y'all industry sometimes. And like I say, and you won't stand alone because that's behind me, but I'm quite sure everybody on here, because this is the type of people that's involved with this publication. We just don't sit back and talk about it. You know, these are people of action, people of works, but even us, we need to connect our own dots, like Sister Kilolo was suggesting to us. You know, we have to know our own strength. Everybody has to know what everybody brings to the table. And because there's so much out there, and I've been doing this for years, and this, you know, I'm not just talking about, you know, maybe this can happen or this can happen. So I cut my teeth on directories, and this is where I connect dots at, because, like I said, I did it with the National Black Action Portal, and I still, I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you what a person can do if they put their mind to it. Now, I built this website not knowing. Never went to school for building websites, but never went to school for typing. I plucked and I put everything, but it's 400 pages to this one website. And I still think, wait, and it's about 9 or 10 years old now, and I still think it's the largest resource that we have in this country for black businesses and organizations. I still believe it because I haven't seen anything yet come to anywhere near it yet. And I stopped doing it. I stopped putting resources in it. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. But I come to learn, even doing this newspaper, because when I was doing the informer, and Brother Hockey can tell you, back in the day, Brother Satavi can tell you, you know, I used to wear all that. I was a photographer, distributor, I was all of them. Now, it's good to know the industry, but sometimes if you wear all these hats, them hats will wear you out, and you just can't do it all. So it does take off the village. It does take a team. But somebody just needs to take the lead. Somebody needs to have knowledgeable about we about to enter into. And so I'm just making a strong suggestion. If you see the void in your industry, just like I see one in media, with the black newspapers, you know, it's too much, you know, because they are what they are, but you know, but we can form something even different there. You know, like Brother Chris said, media services. And we have all types of Yeah, somebody needs it. Wait a minute. But in any case, trying to be somebody else because it's a lot of background noise and my mouse is not cooperating. Okay.
You are muted.
But in any
you
case,
can mute or unmute yourself
you
by
know,
pressing star 6.
You know, I'm just making a
six.
Strong suggestion again that those of y'all whose industry is there's a board in our community, Sister P. Lolo was talking about we need to sit down face-to-face and bring. Then I suggested to her that she do it. You know, she won't be working alone. And the same thing with Bubba Ransom. You know, like I say, there's so much information. And if all of us, with all of our wisdom and knowledge and expertise, like I say, we have people who are organizers. We have people that, you know, just know people. We have the networks. We have it all right within the small community that we have with the National Black Unity News. And from where I sit, there's nothing that we can do together. Like I say, see, somebody just needs to take the front. You know, somebody just needs to be the organizer and unite those industries together. And then we have a brother Cliff on here. Then, you know, not just with that, you know, there's organizers, then you're fine. There's small pockets of organizations that's trying to do the same thing as well. But, you know, but as long as the resources come together. And so like, I just want you to know from this conversation that we're having today is that you'll never be alone if you decide to take forth. Because, like I said, if there's a problem in our community, somebody needs to solve that problem. So it's obvious that nobody hasn't done it as of yet, and maybe it's up to you to make that difference. And again, I'm just saying this because it's time. You know, the publication's going to do what it's supposed to do next year. I'm telling you all this now. This issue alone, and I'm telling you, about five people I didn't get in this issue. It's 60 pages in this issue coming up. And I cut off. Area is 72 pages, and I believe the first quarter of next year that will be filled. And so if you're in the publication, do your best to stay in there. But if you know somebody that you know that can help bring solution to this publication, to bring information that's going to assist our people, tell them, get them in here now, because like I say, the windows are going to be closed off real soon. And but nevertheless, you know, there's going to be other opportunities and everything. But for the National Black Unity News, we're not going to be running around with a 100-page newspaper. But at the same time, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have growth. But at the same time, now it's time. We have built the foundation. Now it's time to build on this thing. And we need to unite our organizations. We need to unite every industry. Like Brother Cliff have on this wheel here. Because, like I say, ladies and gentlemen, I just feel it in my spirit. It is time. You know, we got to stop just talking and start doing. And everybody on here doing what they're supposed to do. But now it's time to organize. And I'm willing to assist you. I have, like I say, many years of expertise in all of these different industries, even though, like I say, if you go into National Black Action Forum, you'll see a fashion industry on there. You'll see an entertainment industry on there. And you'll see that it's national and local. And this was years ago. So ain't nothing new under the sun, really. It's just that it just takes some strong men and women to step up to the plate, organize, and not only that, a servant is truly worthy. And so, you know, a lot of us say it's not about the money. I've never been into things for money, but I'm more mission-driven than anything else. But I've come to learn with my wisdom, it does take money. Because, you know, you can do a lot of good things with money. It can make your life so much easier and your purpose so much better if you can help finance whatever you're trying to do. And if you don't, if you have enough of it yourself, you can share it with some of us. So people, you know, it's a lot of, and you all know it's a lot of great organizations out there that need support. And so, and each one of these things I'm speaking to you about is extremely lucrative financially, what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to use you as an example, and then I'm going to shut this thing down. I've been running my mouth all day. Danielle, can you imagine a directory of people in the fashion industry, from clothing, hair, shoes, everything, all jewelry, all this stuff interchangeable with the fashion industry? And can you imagine if you do the people in this a great favor by having some type of directory or some type of website where they can all come and not only, you know, see what other people are doing, but, you know, can form fashion shows right from your website. They can do all the things. People like myself who want to buy products, goods, and services go to your site and find all of this information on there. You can highlight, you can interview them, you can do all of the things. And all of it, you know, it could be interchangeable with a cash flow. And in other words, the sky's the limit. There's no limitation to the amount of money that will be poured into this. But you'll be worthy of it because, like I said, you're providing a great service. And can you imagine the day will come when all of our industry, legal and everything else, and then we can come to this circle that Cliff had here. And we start putting things like that, now, I mean, all over this country and all throughout the diaspora. And do you know the power of us and the we? I mean, this is true power with resources. There won't be no excuses that we can't find one another, we can't support one another, and that each one of these industries, because like I say, if we make, you know, we have people on here now that are educators, like Dr. Pender. You know, he has a bunch of solutions, but can you imagine if he had the platforms to educate us how to get back to basics? Can you imagine Brother Ransom letting people know that we ain't got to do all this buffoonery to get our messages out there? We can put out something that can change our children and our future lives for the betterment, because we're putting out quality information that's going to uplift our race, not put us down and make us look like clowns and buffoons and everything else. And the same thing with, you know, everything else on there. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every one of you for your input. And I hope you take what I'm saying seriously, because like I said, you already have an army around you. And the only thing you have to be is willing vessels to step up to the plate. Change your industry. You know what the problems are in your industry. Change it. You have the power to change it. It's no more excuses for us. We have everything we need, ladies and gentlemen. All we have to do is just do it. And I'm willing to assist you in every way I can. And I'm quite, most everybody on there, knowing their hearts and their spirit and their expertise in their particular fields, will be willing to help, because that's what they're about. And so I thank each and every one of you for your participation. And we'll be on tomorrow evening, 7:30, with Sister Kathleen Murphy will be hosting the show about the National Black Unity News. And again, you know, it's been a great day for me, because this last year or two, I'm seeing how God works, and I'm also seeing the paper expand in different levels. And it's amazing what's about to take place, is what's already taking place. And so those of you, especially like Brother High Key and Brother Satavi, who've been with us from the inception, you know, those years, you know, that we put in our blood, sweat, and tears, it's about to pay off now. And things are about to happen now. But, you know, with everything, you have to have a little bit of struggle in life. And so I thank each and everyone for your participation. Don't give up. Don't give in. Things are just about to happen. And so thank y'all. I'm going to say good night to you. I hope you'll be on the call tomorrow night, because you do have to show up. That's one of the most important things that we fail to do sometimes, show up, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen with us, to us, and for us. So, you know, again, just show up. And things are happening and at a rapid pace. So I thank each and every one of you for your input, because you are the National Black Unity News. Thank you and good night. Take care.
Good night, Dad.
Goodbye.